Blog Talk Radio.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Patriot Network. This is Dahl. I am your host. We'll be joined by Lori Ann, the host of the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann show. You can find that right here at Blog Talk Radio, Sunday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific. I join Lori Ann as the co-host respectively, and we switch roles on that night. So definitely worth a listen. We're so excited everybody could join us. That was a rendition of the Star-Spangled Banner done in compilation with our president, Donald J. Trump, and the J6 Jail Choir. Now, if it doesn't bring tears to your eyes, you're broken, because it's one of the most beautiful things I've heard in a long time. It was just released, and I thought I'd share it with all you patriots out there. Also, a heartfelt thank you, sincerity from all of us here at the Alaska Patriot Network to all of our service members, both active duty and veterans. Thank you for your service. Without your brave act of selflessness, you know, our freedoms would not be what they are today, and likely we would not be speaking to you today on air. Our First Amendment rights are constantly being infringed upon, and we here at the Alaska Patriot Network do not buy into the woke agenda, and we'll just tell it like it is. We'll be discussing tonight cancel culture. Big surprise that that's even a topic, but yeah, here it is. I'm being sarcastic there. We'll be talking about Women's History Month and how women are essentially being canceled. So while Lori and I get settled into the studio here in our respective seats, it just takes a second with the software switch. I have a quick song for you, and we will be right back. Don't go anywhere. We have a great show, and I'm really excited that you could all join us. It's such a privilege to be here with all of you. So we're going to get our stuff done and hurry on back here.
Doctor says my blood pressure's down, and it's
been that way since you skipped town. And I know you thought you're leaving would make me feel like screaming, but baby, I ain't even stressing out. I bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but girl, I ain't even getting mad. 'Cause I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, and it's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. Used to have these headaches all day long, but it's disappeared since you've been gone. And that girl next door, she sees me, loves how I'm taking it easy, blows kisses at me while I'm on my lawn. Bet you thought I'd be getting lonely, thought I'd be getting angry, but I've been getting luckier than that. 'Cause I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Since you've been gone, I've been getting laid back. I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back. 'Cause I've been getting laid back, baby, you should know that. I don't need your criticism, pessimism. I've been keeping it on the DL. Got a girl that keeps it real, but that's all I need to know, and all you need to know, babe. Been gone, I've been getting laid back, busy getting laid back, keep getting lucky, getting laid back.
All right. And we are back. Welcome back to the Alaska Patriot Network. This is Dahl. We got Lorianne here. We've got a great show lined up for you. It's Women's History Month. And today, I just kind of remembered it. I mean, you know, I am a woman, and I was born a woman, and I'll stay a woman, and I'll die a woman, just the way God made me, perfectly imperfect. And I can tell you, I'm imperfect. You know, you can ask anybody in my family or my husband or my friends, you know. But God made me that way, and I'm going to stay that way. And, you know, I was going through social media this morning, as I sometimes do when I wake up, and it's something that we all kind of do. Well, some of us, or we look at the news. You know, that's sometimes where I get my news. I find interesting articles and whatnot. And something popped up, and oh, it's Women's History Month. Oh, International Women's Day, like March 8th. And it's not like a set date. It's not like, you know, Christmas where it's always a set date. And the first thing that popped up when I was looking at that was how everything in celebration of Women's History Month has very little to do with us women. It doesn't applaud. There was no applause of, you know, women, you know, breaking through employment barriers and voting barriers and the women of the suffrage movement and the, you know, people, women in history like Harriet Tubman. No, it was Levine, Rachel Levine. And let me remind you, let me refresh your memory. He was Woman of the Year last year. So essentially, the last real true history month for women, in my opinion, happened in 2021. Because once they start celebrating transgender men dressed like women for History Month, well, there goes Women's History Month. I didn't see Mr. Rogers being celebrated for, you know, I use Mr. Rogers because he's such a, you know, cisgender male. God bless him in heaven. He was a great patriot. But anyways, though, we don't see him in Black History Month. And, you know, this isn't about race. This is about the autonomy of women, biological women, women God made imperfectly and perfect all in one bundle. This is about your mothers, your sisters, your daughters, future generations. You know, this is a serious conversation. And people have become so accustomed to those drag shows and these, you know, movie stars that are whatever gender they want to be of the day. And one day they pretend like they're a woman. One day they pretend like they're, I don't know, the tooth fairy. Or they need a litter box. They're furry. Nothing can do what women do. We are so, and this is not to discount men. And I don't know why we don't have Men's History Month. I need to know that. That's a question I have that, you know, that's unanswered. Now, I hope somebody will chime in and you can call in and join this conversation at any time, you guys. 515-602-9722, press number 1. That raises your hand in the studio and lets us know that you want to chime in. And I don't care if you have a dissenting opinion. Go ahead. Calls are live on air, so 515-602-9722, press number 1. But our women are so special. There's nothing that can replicate the biological female. Women are born with all of their eggs. From the moment that the fetus is forming in the womb, that biological female is growing. She's got growing her eggs, because it's safe harbor for those eggs. And then one day she will grow up, and if she chooses to have a family, a child will grow within that body, a beautiful child. Pregnancy is the most beautiful thing in the world. It is the most sacred thing. Yeah, every mammal can do it, you know, but even they're sacred. I mean, who's not excited about a pregnant, you know, if you've got a dog that you've been wanting to get pregnant, you're so excited she's going to have puppies. But anyway, so back to human pregnancy. That's the most important thing right now. That fetus grows within, sharing the same fluids as the mother, the same everything. And impossibly, a feet that is so big, a woman's able to give birth and not just die right there. Most women, you know, have healthy births. So my point is that there is nothing more sacred and beautiful in this world than the biological female. And the agenda to cancel women, and I'm not butthurt because some pervert wants to wear makeup. That doesn't bother me. But what bothers me is when they tell me that they're equal to me, that they carry tampons in their purse. or maxi pads, that they're the face of some big conglomerate, or has been transgendering on TikTok and gets a special invitation to the White House from his fraudulency, Joe Biden, the meat puppet. That bothers me. That is insulting, and it's degrading and whatnot. But what really bothers me is the true agenda behind all of that. It's a trickle-down thing. The Dylan McVaney, the Pocket Barbie dude, and all of the rest of them, they are just to murk at the waters. They're just muddying the waters to cloud our vision to see the, so that we can't see the true agenda that's happening. It is a travesty. And the end, I believe the end goal is depopulation. It's part of the technocrats and the transhumanist movement to dehumanize us and make us less than what we are. Right now, women are no longer a protected class. And I'm not the type of woman that wants special privileges for anything. But I sure as hell don't want to be canceled. I sure as hell do not want to not have a biological definition that is mine, solely mine, and yours, if you're a woman, or for your daughter, or for your mother, who carried you in that womb, that marvelous biological atmosphere that, I mean, that you just can't replicate. A man cannot carry a child in his womb because he doesn't have a womb. Buttigieg says men cannot breastfeed their babies. So this goes beyond, you know, that type of mucking up the waters and stuff. Once women are canceled to a certain point, we're no more than just cogs in the system. We are nothing but faceless, nameless entities. In fact, I believe a lot of our youth are jumping on these bandwagons because it's not a biological yearning that they're having. It's a mental disorder. And it is being propagated by these media, the social media, by TikTok. And you better believe that the Chinese have an agenda there. That's part of the murking up those muddy waters, muddying up the waters so that we can't see that agenda, you know, the true agenda. They don't want us having babies. They want women to abort their babies. There are less children in the world with disabilities than there used to be. It's simply because of genetic testing and stuff. And I'm not going to go down the moral road on that. But there was recently a study saying that there was less baby female Down syndrome children being born because of the selectivity of it. People are like, well, you know, I'd rather have a male, you know, child with Down syndrome. I don't want to deal with a, you know, a biological female. She may have menses, and one day when I have a family, how do I explain that? I don't know where the, you know, thought process comes in, but there are statistics, and I do have them. We will go through them a little bit later in the show. But this is a crisis on a global scale, and it's not just a matter of trying to lift up a class of transgender people. This is to erase women. So I've been kind of going on, and I want to bring Lori in into the show and welcome her in real quick. And we're going to discuss this and talk about a couple of different points of interest here. And also, I wanted to read some of the comments tonight that I got on a tweet earlier today discussing this, and also wanted to talk about, you know, a couple different articles I came across. But what's really interesting is some of the comments and replies in this tweet. And I had put up a post and asked people to leave their comments, and I would read them on the air. So we'll get to that after we welcome Lorianne in. So welcome in, Lorianne.
Well, hello, hello. Happy Friday. Always good to be here joining you, and hope all is well with you up there in Alaska land.
Yep, it is. It's a blizzard as usual. Every Friday night. Every Friday night this happens. That's okay. I'll keep dusting off my Starlink dish. Thank you, Elon Musk.
Almost like it's forcing you to be snowed in. Like, you have to do your show because what else you got to do? You're snowed in.
I don't know. I almost gave up because my everything was so glitchy earlier, but I realized I think it might just be Twitter. So, yeah. But anyways, so, yeah. So,
okay,
what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, so happy Women's Month. And, you know, one of my first thoughts is, you know, let's take a look at when this, you know, Women's Month is. It's in the month of March. And it's very symbolic that it's in the month of March. Why? Because the month of March is when spring happens. And so with spring, that's symbolic for rebirth or birth, bringing forth new life. It goes to what you were saying about, you know, women, and we are the bearers of new life. We have a womb. We have our eggs that we are born with that are developed while we are still in the womb, all of them that we're ever going to have. And we are the bearers of new life. So I think it's very symbolic that this month occurs in March. And a little bit of a history note is that where did Women's History Month begin? Well, we can thank Jimmy Carter for it in 1980. Jimmy Carter started it as a week-long celebration for Women's History Week. And then that eventually grew into a Women's History Month. So, you know, like his politics or not, we need to thank Jimmy Carter, who is in hospice now, still hanging on. And, you know, so he's at home with his family, 98 years old. He was, you know, so he is really the start of this. It started in California, actually, as a state thing. In 1978, Sonoma, California held the first known Women's History Week to align with International Women's Day. And so with that week, then by 1980, February 1980, President Jimmy Carter issued a presidential proclamation declaring the week of March 2nd through the 8th as Women's History Week. And then that eventually grew into Women's Celebration Month, right? Women's History Month. So, and as you were saying, this was to commemorate women in history. And because I think all too often in our history books, when we were going to school, and what we see and read in our history really seems to omit the contributions that women have made throughout history. And so that was the whole behind acknowledging women's contributions throughout history. And women are women. We're born that way. We should be appreciated for that. And here we are now where the focus is no longer on the contributions of women throughout history. Now it's this focus on transgender women. And
who are not women.
Yeah, who are not women.
Who are not women.
They were not born
women.
They were not born with the XY chromosome. They were not born with a uterus and ovaries and fallopian tubes and milk ducts, you know, developing breasts and milk ducts in their breasts to be able to feed their babies when they're born. Exactly. And so it is, I think, you know, and like you, we're actually, you know, I really have no problem with whatever somebody wants to do with their lives. If you're an adult and you want to transition to, you know, be more feminine, then fine, so be it. Do whatever makes you happy, man. I am not going to tell you, you know, what to do. I'm not going to try to ban you. If you're a good person, then I don't mind it. And I'm aligned with you in that there's a difference between that and pushing this agenda to infiltrate women's sports, to infiltrate and celebrate transitioned men into women as part of Women's History Month. I especially do not agree with minors, children, that are going through puberty blockers, children having surgeries to modify their genitals and try to make them into the opposite sex's genitals. That is all something that should only be done by an adult that is old enough to make their decisions. Parents should not be making that kind of decision for their children, especially when there are so many cases out there that you hardly ever see in the media of people that did transition. They took their puberty blockers when they were children, and then they later grow up. They get to be, you know, 18, 20, whatever years old, and realize what a huge mistake it is, and now there's no going back. It's a permanent change that they did to themselves. And they will never be the same. They probably will never be able to have children of their own. All of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, this is not something where it's like, yes, normally I believe in parents' rights. But when it comes to that, that's where I draw the line. You don't go messing with a child's physical biology like that. And it's really kind of a fad. It's become like a big fad. Like it's the next cool thing, like having a pet rock, you know? I mean, it's like that, only it's so much more dangerous. And I also believe that, yes, it is part of the depopulation agenda. It is part of an agenda that is not valuing human life, not valuing children for who they are when they are, you know, in the womb and out of the womb and growing up. There's, you know, you don't have to give a girl Barbie dolls and stuff if she doesn't want them. I get it. You know, I never really, you know, I didn't, when I played house as a kid, I was never the mother, you know. I knew from early on I never wanted to be a mother, and there was no agenda with that. There was no, you know, parents telling me that having children is bad. It's just something that I always knew personally that I just never really had an interest in being a mother, right? You know, and I didn't, you know, and I liked to do tomboyish kind of things growing up and stuff, but I didn't have parents going, oh, you know, she likes sports. She likes, you know, to do these tomboy things. And, oh, we should go and get her puberty blockers. We should go and have her have surgery to change her body. You know, that was insanity to me, you know, when I was growing up. And it should still be insanity to think that that's permissible to do now. When, you know, when you're taking a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or, you know, 14-year-old and messing with their bodies permanently like that. No, that should be something that is a decision that they make for themselves once they're an adult and old enough to make that kind of a choice.
All right. But my point.
Yeah, so I'm right there with you on that. So sorry for the rant, but you know.
No, but you know, the women have lost their identity in this. That they're in society now is no true value just to a woman being just a woman. Our daughters are seeing that growing up. They're seeing it in TikTok. They're seeing it in social media. And I'm not saying the girls are all transitioning to be boys, but some of them are becoming pansexual or anything to not identify as a woman. They have made being just a cisgender woman a dirty word. Boring. So this is part of that agenda. It's part of that depopulation agenda. It's part of the I don't want to have children and be like that. It's the lessening of a woman, the entity herself. And when that happens, and we've seen that, for example, I'll use the jab for an example. There's this and or us and them. The vaxxed thought the unvaxxed were lesser than them and not worthy. So they said, well, then we're not going to let you into restaurants without a card that you're vaxxed. So what's not to say that just being a plain woman, because God forbid you had hetero sex and actually carried a term, you know, a child to term, because that would mess with the depopulation method, you know, agenda. And that is the end agenda. And I will say to you what you said, Lorianne, about the transgenderism and this whole thing going on with the kids. It's, once again, part of that agenda. Who are the bad guys? Well, we know, just like with the jab, the pharmaceutical companies. A healthy person's not worth anything to them. Well, a healthy, normal child just going along, getting good grades, playing sports, doing their thing, minding their own business, is not worth a lot to the pharmaceutical company. But if you convince a kid that they're not the gender they're supposed to be, they're worth millions of dollars in a lifetime in medical care, in psychologists, doctor's visits, tests, pharmaceuticals. And I do not think that, I would say collectively that the medical complex is not exactly a trusted entity after the scamdemic. I mean, you look at it as a whole. It's like, I'm not saying there's not good doctors out there, but you look at the whole of it, and we kind of now can see it. We broke open that net show. We can see it kind of for what it is now. It's a money-making, government kiss-assin, woke agenda. We have nurses being taught in the neonatal unit or in the maternity units to call babies them. Fathers wanting to breastfeed, like Pete Buttigieg and his husband. I mean, so, and they're playing into that. They're playing into that because it's all part of the agenda. And God forbid one of those medical practitioners step out of line, they will be canceled. They'll lose their job, they'll be heckled, and they'll have a hell of a time. Once again, we saw this parallel. We saw this with the scamdemic. So women are being treated almost like a virus right now. Nobody wants to catch that. Nobody wants to be just normal. Who wants to be just plain woman? You don't have any special, stature in society or protections. You know, if you're walking down and you're getting on the subway or something, you're a woman, you get your butt grabbed, no big deal. But, if it's LGBTQ or something, it's a hate crime. It's a hate crime.
Exactly.
You know, so this is, it's kind of hard to find the words. The show's obviously not scripted. So, I mean, when you're trying to wrap your head around something as big as this and try to bring it forth, you know, how do you bring comments, you know, bring some sense out of the insanity? But, I mean, like, it is like an onion with all these layers, Lorianne. You just peel it back and it, you know, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And then pretty soon you have this, you know, stinky hands.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Yeah,
it's well, just, then, you know, and it's also an agenda, like, you see all these terms around about toxic masculinity. So it's an attack on women from the stance that women are being told that they're not supposed to be attracted to a masculine man anymore, that it's wrong. Something's wrong with you if you're a woman that goes for a big, bulky guy that's masculine, that's protective, that's hardworking, you know, that will be aggressive when they need to be. But then also have the temperament to keep their cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what real masculinity is. That's no longer allowed either anymore. So it's like women are supposed to be attracted to these feminized men or like metro males. You know, that was kind of an old term for it, I guess. But you know what I'm saying? It's like it's no longer acceptable. A natural woman, a natural feminine yet strong woman, to be attracted to a traditionally masculine man and vice versa. You know, it's an attack on both. And I said, like you said, and it all goes to this depopulation agenda so that, you know, hey, guess what? You know, if we're not attracted to each other anymore, And now it's being pushed on us pushed on children from a very early age to be attracted to the same sex, or if they're attracted to the opposite sex, that opposite sex is more of a feminine boy or more, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really screwing up like the natural order of things. I'm saying it is.
And if you look, Lorianne, at the and this goes, and I'm glad you brought this up, because now in the last, I believe it, we talked about this not too long ago, what, last 50 years, male fertility rates have dropped 40%. The sperm count has gone down 40%. That's in healthy men. Of all, you know, whatever their sexuality is, doesn't matter. The sperm counts have gone down 40%. And you couple that with just a few women left on the earth that haven't, you know, done anything weird to their body. Well, even if there's all the women left, it doesn't matter, because we've got a healthy male population of 40% decline. And then at this huge sampling of our male population who's transgendering. So on top of that, add the 40% fertility decline on top of the ones that are transgendering or taking hormones and are not going to be able to reproduce even if they want to later on in life, because that's been taken from them by, you know, this culture and bad decisions, that is going to hurt the, you know, population growth even more. Now, the Smithsonian Institute, which is, you know, mostly a taxpayer, you know, comes out of tax dollars for their funding, but also private money. But the Smithsonian Institute is massing donors to fund a museum of American women, which the director of the project says will include biological men who claim to be transgender women. With high-dollar donors, including Melinda Gates, Tory Burch, and a member of the Walton family, the museum's new director promises to represent women on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., according to the New York Times. The museum is only in the planning stages and has not picked a site, according to the museum's interim director. But it already has pledges of more than $55 million to help get the idea off the ground. The Times noted that the immediate future of the Bill in flux as it races to prepare ahead of the Smithsonian's other effort to pander to a minority group, the National Museum of American Latino. But anyway, so it goes on to say that, you know, essentially that they'll be highlighting, you know, she plans to include the new director plans to include transgender women who have been subject to increasing harassment and violence at a time when there's national discussion and deep partisan divide about the acceptance of transgender identities. We have a job to build a museum that's going to serve the public for a very, very long time. From the DNA of this museum, that is not for DNA, it's like director, national, blah, of this museum, there has been a desire to be inclusive. This is far from the first time that this Smithsonian Museum has used its platform to push modern partisan politics and everything else. They actually did in 2020, they created an exhibit that attacked white people and said identifiers of white supremacy are contained in the phrases rugged individualism, hard work, and added that whiteness is also defined by talk of the nuclear family. See, and that's part of what we were talking about, Lorianne, is that nuclear family. When you decouple that from, you know, normalcy, you get depopulation. So it's really interesting because it's to add transgender women to that is it's not a women's museum anymore. Transgender people need their own museum, and they'll call it the Trans Women Museum or Transgender Museum. I'm not saying they shouldn't have their own places. That's not my intention.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why not have their own place? Wouldn't that actually,
you know, you can't
honor
put my face up
transgender
the
people
museum
even more if they had their own thing? You know, instead of group of men with
exactly
and fit into a pre-existing paradigm, why not acknowledge them for who they are and their contributions? Because guess what? You know, there's plenty of them out there that are contributing to society and even throughout history. They might not have had surgery in history, but, you know, transgenderism, you know, this isn't anything new. It's been there. But why not have it be its own entity a separate thing?
Because just like they were calling abortion health care.
Exactly.
It's an attack on
exactly
women. And I'll tell you, the technocrats, for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that I'm a victim because nobody victimizes me, but for whatever reason, the technocrats really have it out for women and white people, although a lot of them are white, which I just don't get. But you don't see very many women in there. How many women do you see sitting at the table with Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates and the rest of them? Soros.
Not very many.
You don't see women. No, it's a circle of men. And for whatever reason, they are out for our daughters and our mothers and our sisters, for you, Lorianne, and for me. And to try to deny it or come up with, you know, a way to explain it, that it's, you can't. You can't. And pretty soon, and I don't understand why women, a lot of what, there's so many, well, because as what they're teaching the children in the schools, that there's a whole generation, there's probably about a 10-year, a decade of kids that we had no idea what was going on in school, because parents were, it was the Obama administration, everybody had to work two jobs to stay afloat. If your kid wasn't getting in trouble at school, you know, and they were getting good grades, you just didn't ask questions. Nobody's asking for homework. No, there's no truancy. You know, they're doing great. You had no idea. And that wasn't because you're a bad parent. Because, I mean, I went to public school as a child, and I survived, and I'm pretty sure you survived, and billions of us went to public school and got decent educations. You know, when things went wrong, Lorianne, is when they quit whooping kids' butts at school. That's when things went wrong. But that's another show.
But that's another subject, yeah.
When we went from
teachers being able to actually discipline kids, not even just whipping their butt, but now teachers, you know, they get screamed at by the parents for sending their kid to the principal for acting up. It's the teacher's fault instead of the kids. You know, they get after the teachers more than they get after the kids that misbehave. But that's a whole other subject. But in this, it's like, you know, I had a thought in my head and now it just escaped me because we got on that part. but it's like, you know, why women traditionally, like the whole reason for acknowledging women's contributions in history is because of women traditionally, you know, we couldn't even have a credit card until the early 70s, right? You know, talk about systemic racism. Why don't we talk about systemic sexism? Why aren't women demanding reparations for this systemic sexism?
No,
that
we already
sort of thing.
Fought
it's
that
like,
battle, though. We fought it. We won it. I mean,
it
we didn't
goes
even really
on,
have
though.
To. Yeah,
we didn't win it. We're still
right
battling
here.
It.
Well, we're only battling it. That's a different show, but that part is a different show too. But this is much bigger on a larger scale, and that's why I was asking you: how many times have you seen a woman sitting at the table with Bill Gates or George Soros or any of them and being a part of that agenda and stuff? And like I said, it's because I hate women. But I did want to read a couple of these comments before we moved on. And I had put out a tweet this morning. I asked people to leave their comments. And the tweet was, "It's Women's History Month. Regardless of race, ladies, we all need to stand together. You have been canceled. Smithsonian is planning to include trans women in upcoming Museum of American Women. The autonomy of womanhood is under attack. It's a sad point in history when the definition of a biological woman can be debated. This is a turning point in history, and not in a good way. Prayers for our children and following generations if we don't stand for our biological rights as women." And we had Twitter user Freebird: "These are men, what a slap in the face. How can a true American woman put up with this crap and not damn near lose it?" Liberty Angel: "Sending emails to the Smithsonian. Thank you, girl." And she went on to say, "Tampering with bodies is a nasty game. How can we stop it? I wish I had an answer for you." Yukon Cornelius: "That's outrageous. Men pretending to be a woman is a mental health issue. Placating it and calling it a trans movement is ridiculous and has become a weaponized political movement." Definitely could not agree more. And Trailer Park Girl: "This is like blackface to women. No one else agree? WTF? Yes, and it is. It's literally, it is Trailer Park Girl. It is woman face is what we call it. Yukon Cornelius responding, literally, yes, even if the tranny is not mentally ill, I feel like they missed an ass whipping or two in their lives. That's my Southern take on it. Put them in Marine boot camp and let them meet the business end of a drill instructor. Deplorable designer. Boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. End of the story. Couldn't agree more. let's see here. Malia 021. They need to have their own, not in real women's competition. Lorianne and I both agree on that, I know. Couple of them I can't read. I'm not going to read on air just because of the language. So if I've skipped the tweet, I appreciate your response online, though. LaMitch, this is crazy. You're either a woman or a man. Couldn't agree more. Drew Freeman, if you have an XY chromosome, you're a man no matter how many hormones you take or what part of your body you cut off. Jabigo Edwards, trans women are not women. Thank you. And Bert Carey, for once, I'm kind of glad there isn't a men's history month. No telling what they call a man these days. Well said. Cammy.
That's hilarious. I like that one.
Yeah, I like that one too. That was like tweet of the day, dude. All right, Cammy, as 100% female, it's unacceptable for anyone to force me to accept a man who wants to be a woman or vice versa. How dare they cancel me for that? We couldn't agree either. We couldn't agree more, sister. Salmonella. That's a good one. That's a good, it was two words, salmonella. I didn't even, like, I had to roll it out and I realized salmonella. So salmonella, the real war on women, yes it is. Greenblood 67, when you put the word trans in front of any two genders, it is stealing the identity of said gender. You can't have it both ways. Please stop the nonsense. It's absolutely ridiculous. Men can't give birth to a baby and women don't have penises. Lord help us. Well said. Miss Jabby Dodger. Real natural women will always be the fairer sex, much to the disappointment of men who like to pretend they are women and dress their square. Bulky asses in dress, high heels, and makeup. Sorry, dudes. Zora Ranch. They're pushing it everywhere this year. It's like this. There's some kind of conspiracy with the thinking face. No, it's not a conspiracy. Let's talk Zora Ranch. It's a depopulation model. That's my response. Jason Little, men are not women, never have been, never will be, pretend all you like, it does not change the sex you were born with. Okay, Ragdoll Blues, Elizabeth Cady Stanton is rolling over in her grave. She was a notable woman in history. Look her up, she's great. One Small Voice, Smithsonian has lost its mind for ousting pro-life students from entering museum. Yeah, this is the same museum that kicked out the pro-life kids a couple months ago when they went for the right for life stuff. We get DW, trans women are not women. They have a penis. And going crazy, they want to be so special, give them their own stuff because they're not women. No amount of surgery will make them women. Thank you. And Dirty Prune, I will thank you for your comment that I'm about to read because it was one of these comments that I kind of changed the direction for today's show. Like, I decided that this needs to be talked about on air. It's insane to me that more women aren't speaking out. This is just stupid, and women should realize what's happening. And that comment right there was like, whoa, that was a wake-up call, Lorianne, when I got that. Anyways, so there's so many here.
Yeah, that was a great comment. And it's like we're regressing, you know. It's like taking the women, you know, the advances that women have made, and we're regressing. Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
Let's go back to devaluing natural women again, you know. How long is it until employers promote a trans woman over a natural woman because of, you know, new hiring policies and things. So doesn't matter who's more qualified. It's just, you know, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, we are regressing in the advancement of women in order to bring about this new trend, or I'm calling it a fad, of promotion of this transgenderism. And it is, it's a setback on purpose. And,
it's to the point where
women are having plastic surgeries to change their facial structure so that they don't look as feminine as they were when they were born. You know, like they literally want to look more masculine because it's just no longer okay for a woman to just look like a woman anymore.
Yep. All right. So we've got Navajo 874 Viking. Men with identity disorder and mental illness equals trans women. Have to put anything in front of women obvious to assume they know full well they are not. Way to go on ruining the reputation of archaeologists, anthropologists worldwide throughout the ages. You woke embarrassments to science. That was a good one. Filmmaker, notice they pushing men who think women, but not women who think they are men. If this works, is all screwed up. Hey, women, fight these sick people trying to eliminate real women. I couldn't agree more. And that's interesting because, like I said a little bit earlier, you know, we've got this reduction in sperm counts and healthy population. These are healthy, you know, population of men. And then they're trying to get – so – the war, the joke isn't just on the women. It's on you guys transitioning. You know, you're all part of this. You're all part of this depop. You're playing right into their hands. And they told you you want to do this. So I almost feel sorry for you, but nah, not today. This one was interesting. And it is a user Iggy Sison. Gender dysphoria is a vaccine-induced disease. Endocrine disruptors can also play a role leading to LGBTQ behavior. So that one actually was like, you know, there might be something to that. And it's very interesting because...
I like bringing comment in the chat. Not to totally interrupt, but bringing it boy in the chat, Judy Blume books are probably going to be book burning pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Or a book burning party pretty soon. I know, I grew up with Judy Blume books. Or like Little Women.
All right, so, and anyway, so this user, it sent a really interesting link with the article. And it's a role of vaccine-induced juvenile autoimmune hyperthyroidism in gender dysphoria. And, of course, who would be involved in that? Big Pharma. So it was a interesting article, and it kind of broke down to that there are many contaminating proteins and vaccines that have a higher protein sequence match scores to human thyroperoxidase. I'm sure I said it wrong, compared to the match score that caused blah, blah, blah. So they are essentially saying that some of these immunizations that were thought vaccines that were thought to induce autism also similarly are disrupting gender identity. And it's interesting article. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put it up on my Twitter page at Dahl Arnson, and then Alaska Patriot Network on Facebook I'll post the link there too, because it's got a lot of scientific mumbo jumbo and stuff. And but it was really interesting, and it's worth a peek. I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, the answer to it, but like, you know, I said, we're seeing so much of this that it's undeniable, and it's tearing our country apart, and it's breaking up the nuclear family, and that's exactly what, you know, this agenda is going for. So,
you know, I can't help but wonder if it hasn't already started, how soon it will be, because, you know, when we talk about fetal development in the womb, I forget at how long it is, how many weeks it is in fetal development that the sex organs begin to form, you know, that triggers, you know, the sex organs to start to be formed. And how long until they start injecting hormone treatments into the amniotic sac or into the umbilical cord to disrupt that, you know,
exactly.
The minute a woman,
manipulate.
You know, yeah, you know, like I want to make sure that, you know, I have a boy or whatever, and, you know, and parents start doing that from within the womb, like, you know, starting at 3 or 4 years old isn't good enough anymore. You know, almost, you know, before that fetus inside of the woman is starting to actually develop their sex organs, to go in and inject them with hormones into the umbilical cord to disrupt that whole process. I would not be surprised if that is the next evolution of this transgenderism agenda, which of course will permanently make that baby be born infertile, you know, if you do that, you know, and the, you know, so then the child is, it's in the womb. It never had a choice because the parents made that choice for them. I'm just imagining like the different ways that the future will hold with this.
Oh, I have a feeling they're already messing with everything. I'm sure they are, you know, Bill Gates.
Yeah, probably
and
the Wuhan lab
they're...
is probably already experimenting on that very thing.
Yeah, but I'm
pretty
sure
it's a creative virus that'll do it.
Yeah, it's actually probably the Ukraine branch right now, Ukrainian branch of the Wuhan lab. It seems to be the hot spot. You know, and China's laughing at us. China's watching our military play into this whole transgender movement. And I didn't, you know, my intention wasn't to get down on the transgenderism, you know, specifically. I don't care what adult human beings do with their body. Just don't tell me what I need to do with mine. And please don't, if you were not born a woman, please go ahead and just call yourself transgender. Being transgender is okay. That is what it is. But you're not a woman. And don't take that from us. I wouldn't call myself transgender if I wasn't transgender. I wouldn't steal your thunder. I wouldn't do that so that I wouldn't get, you know, so that I could get a better job, so I get hired by the Biden administration. I wouldn't lie. But when you say you're a woman, you're lying. You're lying to get a special class of protection. You're buying into this. In fact, you're part of the circus. You're not individual or doing the bold, brave thing. Jeez, they've even got you buying Tampax. So that is just one point of the discussion, and for the rest of this month, I will be dedicating part of the show to Women's History Month. And I just say Women's History Month. We might talk a little bit about history and stuff, notable stuff. And I am hoping to book a couple women that I really admire that are doing a lot, you know, for our country to come and join us on the show at the end of the month. So, you know, we'll be building up to that. But, you know, we'll say part of the topic and we'll kind of segue away from this tonight. But I just want, you know, I to understand that they're not women. And if you're a woman and you've transgendered into a man, you're still a woman, sister. They can take all the stuff out of you. They can take all your eggs and your ovaries and your uterus and all those female knit bits and stuff and make a package for you for the outside or whatever they're going to do with it. But you're still a woman because that's the way God made you. And you're born that way, and you'll die that way. So we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to play a clip from Laura Logan. And she's an amazing patriot. And we're going to take a quick break real quick, and I'm going to play this clip, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about other fun stuff that this government's trying to pull over our eyes. So don't go anywhere, anybody, because this clip is really good. Laura lays it out. Let's listen to what this great patriot has to say.
We're being corralled into this box where we either have to hate Vladimir Putin and believe everything evil that's said about him and love Ukraine, and there's no in between. And that reminds me a lot of you're either a white supremacist or you go with the Democrat narrative on everything under the sun.
The most lethal terrorist threat to the homeland today, white supremacy.
And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white.
I mean, there's just as much
right.
interference here as you could possibly imagine. Before
right. and
even
Laura.
Get to Hunter Biden, Nancy Pelosi, John Kerry,
mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, and all of their children who earn millions from Ukrainian
you are
gas
pointing.
Companies. These days, it's hard to believe anything because they've lied about COVID, they lied about Russia collusion, they lied about the Ukraine impeachment trial, and there's so much more going on in Ukraine that nobody is talking about.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
My job as a journalist is to try to understand what is the truth here. I don't like being lied to, and we're being lied to on an epic scale. When we're told your only choice is you have to be 100% with Zelensky.
Slava Ukraina!
Who's a puppet who you can find on the internet in black stilettos and leather pants. Zelensky was selected, like so many of our leaders. And honestly, with big tech and with election fraud these days, we don't know how many leaders all around the world have been
yeah.
selected for us and weren't actually voted in.
How to build back better.
We have to build back better.
Build back better.
If Donald Trump gets the Republican nomination, there are many of us that will move heaven and earth to ensure he doesn't win.
We are fighting the same battles all over the world. To pretend that this war is about Russia and Ukraine is a barefaced lie.
Yeah.
Putin has been warning for 15 years that he is not going to stand by while the globalists take over the world, build bioweapons facilities and whatever else they're doing in Ukraine. Ukraine has been a center of money laundering for many of the leaders in this country. Billions of U.S. dollars have been laundered through Ukraine, and we say nothing about it. Does nobody question these things? We have an idiot, like Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Mr. Vindman.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Do you always insist on civilians calling you by your rank?
And sits there as a lieutenant colonel. He didn't even make colonel. And he's telling the president of the United States what his policy should be. You have a traitor in the form of Maria Yovanovitch, who was Obama's ambassador, who's telling Ukrainian government officials, don't listen to the will of the American people.
In his July 25th phone call with Ukrainian President Zelensky, the president badmouthed Yovanovitch, calling her bad news.
I was shocked. Absolutely shocked.
And then she's given a cushy job for life at Georgetown University. And we're told that the President of the United States cannot say to his foreign counterparts that we want you to look into something.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
Well, son of a bitch.
And they put in place someone who was solid.
So much hypocrisy and dishonesty here. And Ukraine is at the center of it all.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty,
freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
And we are back, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is the Alaska Patriot Network. This is the top of the second hour, and we're glad that everybody joined us, like I just said. And thanks for tuning in. And your listens and your support mean a lot, because we don't do this for monetary gain, and we do not have paid sponsors, and we don't expect anything from you except for just to spread this word. You know, stand up for your liberties. Do not allow big tech and the media and this illegitimate administration to, you know, take away your voice, take away your autonomy as a woman or as a cisgender male or a person of color, or, you know, or whiteness, your whiteness, or whatever it is. Don't let them steal that from you. You know, if you are in the hold queue and you do want to chime in on tonight's conversation, please press number one. I do see people in the hold queue, and all you got to do is press number one. That raises your hand in the studio and lets us know that you want to join the conversation. So we're going to go ahead and bring this caller in before we segue into more topics. Welcome into the show.
Hello.
Hi, welcome in. You're on the Alaska Patriot Network.
Oh, okay. Hi, this is Suzette. I'm from California. I know Lorianne.
Hi, Suzette.
Hi.
Hey, Suzette. I thought that might be you. It's been a while. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you. You know, ladies have an intense discussion or subject for discussion this evening.
Yes, it
was. With the whole transgender thing.
Yeah. Well,
you put some good comments in on the chat, too, I see.
Oh, that was Rob, my husband. I'm bringing a boy.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. You guys share it. That's why I didn't know if it was going to be you or Robert, because Robert called in a couple of times when you were unable to. And so when I saw the number popping up, I wasn't sure which one of you it would be, but you are both always welcome. I'm always glad to hear your voice and have you call in and check in and give your input. You're awesome. So, yeah, how's
Thank
it
you.
Going? And what do you think of the show so far?
Well, I think very highly of you and your show on Sundays. And this is the first time I'm listening to this show. So, yeah, I like it. It's pretty good, keeping the subjects moving along. And I like the clip that you played in between to break it up a little bit. So, yeah, that's all great. And my husband had told me when he was home and I was in the hospital that he called in, you know. And I'm like, well, that's good. It keeps you busy, you know. Good conversation. So,
well, we said a prayer for you, Suzette.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I've been
that.
Praying for you. Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yes, yes, me too. Sepsis isn't fun.
No.
No.
No. Not
but,
good.
But if I
you
may comment briefly, thank you.
Yes.
On your transgender museum, you know, I think for all the acceptance that the transgender community is almost demanding, why would they want to place themselves when there aren't really any accomplishments other than the fact that they had transitioned into from this to this, you know, from a man to a woman? I mean, if you're going to do that, put them in the Museum for Science, experimental science, you know, because honestly, they shouldn't be in any type of museum or recognized like that, and if they haven't contributed to the country in history, you know, in our history, in order to recognize them. There are women that have accomplished and achieved things in order to be recognized, and so therefore there was a museum created, and, you know, artifacts and pictures and certificates and whatnot have been contributed in order to show that and display it so we don't forget, hey, these women mattered. On the same note, you know, you had mentioned, you know, the Women's Day being one day, and it's like, well, we really don't have Men's Day either. I think these days and these months that the government has recognized, you know, as a day or a month for a certain group of people, I wish that they would just get rid of that, because they have no business really, you know, raising one group against another, you know, as far as these people get a whole month, these people only get one day. You know, you got President's Day, you've got all these days for celebrating a specific group, and they're not all equal, and we're all supposed to be equal under the eyes of the law. And so if they're going to make a law that says this is a certain day or a resolution, Congress, then it needs to be equal if they're going to do that. You know, I just don't like having these days or months, Black History Month, or, you know, we recognize Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, you know, and it's just dumb. If you want to celebrate women, then celebrate women in your community, but don't make it a national day. You know, even if it's not a federal holiday, just don't. Women need to be recognized.
I couldn't agree more.
All these groups need to be recognized. But, yeah, I just think that it's dumb because it pits people against each other.
It really does. And when you have Pride Month and you have Black History Month and stuff, it's like, well, you know, it points to a division that's not there, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's not healthy.
You know, I mean, exactly, like Pearl Harbor
the continued division.
I can see, exactly. I can see the government honoring days of historic milestones for our country, our country's
mm-hmm.
birthday,
mm-hmm.
Pearl Harbor Day, Veterans Day, because those people have fought to keep our they are part of, you know, not part of the government, but part of our history.
Our history.
And,
yeah, our national history. Yeah, 4th of July. I mean, things like that, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Agreed.
So, I mean, that's a great point. That is such a great point, Suzette, because, you know, it just, like, you know, it's like we were saying, it causes this division. It's, you know, if Martin Luther, I can't even imagine what Martin Luther King would say, you know, if he were alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all his hard work is gone undone by this woke agenda. And
yes.
You've got white people running around saying, I'm sorry, I was born white. You've got BLM telling, you know, saying mean things, and well, white people can't say anything.
I think MLK, Martin Luther King, would be appalled with the BLM movement. He'd be absolutely appalled with the violence and the, yeah, I mean, he'd be like, no, this isn't what I fought for. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Malcolm X, you know, had given some speeches as far as the Democrat Party and their how evil they are, and basically people need to wake up and see what they're doing to his people, you know, the Black community. And yeah, he spoke several times, Malcolm X, after he had come back from was overseas and his spiritual searchings. He came back a different person. And yeah. But I think, you know, as far as museums go, if it's going to be, you know, as far as recognition for events and achievements in history, well, then make it for everybody, you know, as far as this is the women's section in our American history, you know, this is the men's or the, you know, military's contributions or whatever it is, but put it all in one museum and just section it off. So, you know, we know this is what happened, or just do it by event, you know, as far as during these years, this is what took place, and so-and-so or this group or whatever are the ones that made this happen, or, you know, stuff like that. But so it just brings unity together with our American people in American history. I think, yeah, I like that better as far as putting the people involved in that specific time in history that was an achievement or a failure all in one section, and then the next, you know, part, moment in history, put all the people that belong to that in that section and so forth and so on.
Yes, and I agree, and I like the idea of putting things that worked and didn't work in there, because we can learn a lot from not only our achievements, but we can learn from things that didn't go so well. And so I'm guessing that every museum in the future will have a wax dummy of Joe Biden. So this didn't work.
Are you sure it isn't a wax dummy that's already walking around parading as him?
I think it's about five wax dummies. I'm sure. Yeah,
and
that's why I
animated
him. Yeah, that's why I've always called him the meat puppet. So, he is. You know, I mean, there's no denying it. But yeah, no, I love where you're going with that. That, you know, and especially with the government has no place, and our states have no place in doing this. Everything should be a milestone. You know. The government, America is the government's child, in essence, not to foster anything, but to celebrate. And that's the only imagery I want to get in celebration. So, the country's birthday, and then and important milestones and stuff, and you know, definitely, you know, the Civil Rights Movement was a very significant milestone, and all these other movements. But within the last 3 years, how many movements have we had? I mean, like, all of a sudden there's 27 genders.
I
kind of
miss Women's History Month with the pussy hats, actually. Like, you know, I'd like to bring that back again, because that's better than what we got right now.
Yeah. Well, that was ironically the Women's March.
Exactly.
I think
wearing the pussy hat.
I was embarrassed. That doesn't even look like a pussy.
I was embarrassed too.
Ring on their head.
I know. I know. Why didn't they call it the Utter Hat? It looked like cow udders to me. It was utterly ugly.
It was. And they had different styles, people who made their own, and that was even weird.
Yeah.
But these events, you know, and it has to be embedded within those events that we both agree on in history, moments in history and so forth, that in our American history, Americans did this, and it didn't turn out well, you know, for this group or for that group, if they, you know, acknowledging our slave trade or whatever. But civil rights in our American history, Americans did this, you know, because basically if we embed that we are all Americans, no matter who you are, transgender, black, Mexican, whatever, you're American. So...
Exactly.
You know, I don't think that we would have such division if we just remembered that as a people, rather than, you know, retreating to our different tribes. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's what the social equity is all about. And these protected classes and giving one person more opportunity to go to college than the other. Or based on their gender identity now, and the color of their skin.
Even into our judiciary branches, with the whole hate crime,
they can't even
enhanced sentencing. So basically, our government is telling us, which it should be the other way around, but they're telling us that this life is more important than this life, you know, because it's a hate crime. And it's like, all life is important. You know, all life has value and matters. So I don't understand why a person who has, you know, a vendetta or hate or whatever in their heart and takes it out on a specific group of people or person because of his category that he labels himself or herself, why it should matter, why that person should get an enhanced sentence over him killing just somebody regular, you know, just, what do they call it, cis?
Yeah, exactly. It's already a crime to kill somebody. To make it an additional crime as a hate crime, I think it's completely ludicrous. It's a person-to-person crime. That's what it is. Man
it's
against
murder.
Woman, black against white, white against black, you know, Asian, whatever. None of that matters. It's a person-to-person crime. And if you're going to have equal treatment under the law, then there should be no such thing as a hate crime that induces higher and stricter penalties than any other, because then
you
that's no longer equal representation under the law.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
That's always
so
kind of bothering.
I want you to, stick with us for a second here. I'm going to read you guys a quick article. This is out of Seattle. No surprise. And this Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, now, he's one of the most dangerous, he's a Soros-funded, he's Soros-planted Attorney General. He is probably going to run against, or not run against, because Jay Inslee and the governor of Washington is serving his third term. Attorney General Bob Ferguson sees himself as the next governor of Washington State. And this is from the Jason Rant Show. And it's here. It's Attorney General Bob Ferguson's office could arrest or civilly commit conservatives for uttering mainstream positions under a terrifying and illegal plan to redefine domestic terrorism that punishes speech. His office now claims some conservative views or anything he deems as misinformation are examples of, quote, domestic extremism. He even wants to create a Washington version of a Ministry of Truth to fund journalists to push his political agenda. HB 1333 would create a left-wing domestic violent extremism commission in the AG's office. The members are asked to recommend legislative solutions to combat disinformation and misinformation, address early signs of radicalization, and develop a public health style response. But this isn't public health issue, or it would be housed in the Department of Health. It's intended to legally penalize or legally commit political adversaries. The Commission's comprehensive report must evaluate current laws and tools to tackle what they're calling extremism and propose new legislation where there are holes. Based on the title and the public-facing press statements, Washingtonians may be fooled into thinking this is about violence or terrorism. It even has a built-in means of deflection. If you criticize the bill, bad faith partisans like Ferguson and his enablers will accuse you of supporting white supremacy. Don't let them fool you. This commission is specifically designed to target conservatives and quash any government opposition, which is why the legislation purposely ignores Antifa and Black Lives Matter extremists. Indeed, it expressly supports those tactics. Snohomish County Council member Megan Dunn testified in support of the bill. She previously endorsed Molotov cocktail attacks as a good reminder to be civilly engaged. The AG defines domestic violence extremism as much more than a political violence. In fact, the conduct need not be violent at all. Ferguson includes online disinformation and anti-government ideologies as examples of what they're seeking to target. During a House committee presentation on Washington extremism, a member of the Anti-Defamation League, provided local and regional examples of extremist behavior. It was primarily focused on white supremacy, violence, and propaganda. Even though the state has seen minimal incidents in these hate mongers, presentation did not include a single mention of Black Lives Matter or Antifa violence, despite its sustained months-long and relentless stream of politically inspired violence and threats that led to the murder of two black boys inside the so-called Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, also known as CHAZ. A violent bat attack to the head of a police officer and an attempt to burn officers alive inside a police precinct that left-wing radicals attempted to seal shut. While the presentation criticized a bail fund purportedly used to bail out members of right-wing Proud Boys, there was no mention of the exact same strategy used locally and nationally by BLM and Antifa radicals, which were amplified by then-candidate Kamala Harris. The ADL representative noted white supremacists have common cause with anti-mask, anti-vaccine narratives, anti-critical race theory narratives, and criticism of election security and gender extremism pushed on children in the classroom. She argued they used protests around these issues to recruit new members, though she didn't present any data to suggest it's actually happening. The AG's office makes it clear that they're primarily interested in targeting white people. Indeed, his office rejected the term domestic terrorist because it was too triggering to minority communities. And it came from an AG office report after that it tasked a group of stakeholders to explore violent domestic extremism. The stakeholder group did not include a single conservative or even moderate political group. Instead, it included American Civil Liberties Union, Council of Islamic Relations, Planned Parenthood. Unsurprisingly, the group focused on white conservatives, which they labeled extremists, while arguing systematic bigotry within police department attracts extremists. The group's partisan left-wing recommendations were used to craft HB 1333. A key task to the commission is to identify solutions to combat disinformation and misinformation, address early signs of radicalization, and Ferguson has indicated that his office would use social media posts to find the extremists, with their data being collected and stored. But who determines what is disinformation or misinformation? The lawmakers who told us the vaccine stops the spread of COVID? The ones who deem the lab leak theory a conspiracy? The ones who claim there are 74 different genders that one can hold or not hold based on one's feelings? Maybe it'll be the ones who literally called Hunter Biden's laptop Russian disinformation. Simply questioning whether or not elections are secure, as they should be, is considered misinformation. The left uses claims of disinformation or misinformation to smear opponents as extremists so that they won't hold any influence over debate. Now they'll be able to use this strategy to silence opposition by throwing them in jail or having them committed under public health approach. What kind of solutions could they find? And it goes on to say, it's not hard to see how this can easily be abused and result in civil liberty violations. All right, so I'm going to post this up on my Twitter and Facebook. It goes on. But what's important here is that they're going to use this as a public health emergency issue and that people could be actually detained and committed under a public health approach means is essentially like CCP style. It's a, what do you call it? Deprogramming approach, you know, type concentration camp, not concentration camp in that essence, but what's the word I'm looking for, Lorianne?
Effectively the same thing.
Re-education camp. Re-education, thank you, the re-education camps. That's exactly what it is. And can you imagine you post something online or you're talking about, what we're talking about on today's show, or God forbid, you know, they come and get at one of us because we're speaking our truth, because it's our truth and not their truth, it's misinformation or disinformation, because I'm a white woman saying these words makes it even more dangerous. You know,
a white woman that's a conservative is even worse.
Exactly. I am
even worse. And you know what's even worse than that? Me being a white woman and I'm a libertarian, that's even worse than that.
Yeah, I would more identify these days as a nationalist. If they're going to go ahead and throw me in all those other, you know, brackets, I'm definitely a nationalist. I put my country's interests before any other country's, and I'll only support a leader that will do that. I'm done voting by party. The Republican Party is dead. There's only a few halfway decent ones left. And, but I definitely, this is definitely concerning. And I'm not surprised. And see, Washington and Oregon and California and New York are prime breeding grounds for this type of behavior, because a lot of those states have Soros-placed attorney generals and prosecuting attorneys and everything else. How do you think Kamala Harris got lifted up through the ranks, besides under her boss's desk? I will say that. You go, girl.
Oh, sure.
But,
yeah. They're paid and bought.
They're over the years, you know, they're preened and primed for this very moment in history. And it's terrifying what they're trying to push in Washington State. And like I was going to say, though, these states are prime breeding grounds for these type of agendas. And it is a way of silencing people. There was nothing, there was no faith-based Christian groups on their advisory council. No, nothing. And that's really concerning. And it's a threat to our democracy, our republic. You know?
Exactly. You only have free speech so long as you fall in line with the approved free speech, you know, approved by who, which is...
Yeah. So therefore, ergo, you have no free speech. So it's definitely a blow against the First Amendment. You have any thoughts?
This was actually done under... I don't know, under, in the dark, I guess, in the closet. Merrick Garland, after he took his position, he had okayed or signed off and basically entered us, you know, like we are with the UN. Well, we are with Christ Church Call. I believe it's a .net or a .org. And that is in, not Brazil. I can't think of it now. New Zealand. When they had the shooting over there.
Oh,
not surprising. Yes. And so Facebook and, of course, Bill Gates and a couple other media sites, those guys decided that they were going to be the watchers of the internet. And this was back in 2021. I don't have access to my keyboard right now, darn it. Otherwise, I would bring it up. But you can look it up. And they give a statement about what they're about, and which is to watch the internet for speech, for hate speech, for any type of speech that is inappropriate online. They even went so far as to put in their mission that basically they would be able to get a hold of that country and the leadership and blah, 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 if they needed to suspend that person's internet service because of the speech that was inappropriate or that they deemed inappropriate. They have countries that joined their little group. Several of them have.
I remember that.
Found that very, very interesting that that we would even involve ourselves with something like that, which basically, so when they had taken out the disinformation office, it didn't matter because there's still one we're connected to that Biden okayed and Merrick Garland. And that's labeling also Trump supporters, MAGA supporters, anti-establishment, and, you know, so they would be terrorists, domestic terrorists. Basically labeling those people. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really bad.
Election
deniers. So a lot of people don't even know about that. Yes, yes. And so, you know, it doesn't surprise me, the article that you just read, and so now they're actually just making it public, but they aren't making it public about how they're doing it. And so, you know, we have constitutional protections that these states agreed upon, and unless that state was that governor or what is it? You said his name was Bob Ferguson. Unless he secedes from the United States, okay, then there's nothing that he can do. Now, they can go ahead and sign off on that, but then it'll be taken to court, and then once the court receives it, then they'll overturn it. But by then, the damage will be done already. But so they'll try. They do that a lot. That's what they do. They know it's unconstitutional, but they'll go for it anyway, and they'll wait, you know, for the courts to step in. But in the meantime, they're busybodies, you know, running around like chickens without heads, causing all kinds of damage. And then they're like, oh, sorry, we didn't know it was unconstitutional. Oopsies. In the meantime,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Havoc in their state or city or whatever it is that it happens to be. The Second Amendment, which I know you're not on that topic, but just to give an example, the Supreme Court struck down the assault ban that was tried to be introduced here in the United States by the Democrats in Congress. And so that was a good thing. So the Supreme Court is doing their job, but nevertheless, they shouldn't have to work so hard because these people know what's constitutional or not constitutional, but they do it anyway. So these things also suspend habeas corpus because you're not supposed to be imprisoned, you know, against your will without being charged first. And that was done, you know, Abraham Lincoln had done it, a few other governors had did it, but you can only suspend habeas corpus on specific cases, you know, like if we're being overrun by illegal aliens, say, and they're imprisoned against their will or imprisoned indefinitely, that would be a reason to suspend according to the law's definition of habeas corpus. But like the people in the January 6th people, yeah, that shouldn't have happened, but then they introduced the Patriot Act under Bush, and that's what allowed that to happen, which should have never still been used against them because it was specific about who it should be used against. But again, they'll do it anyway.
Yeah, and you know, that in itself, Suzette, is just a constant reminder that our J6 prisoners that are, you know, still imprisoned and or, you know, locked in their house under, you know, house arrest. And or sadly, there's been a handful that have sadly taken their lives and their own lives. And that is just, it just breaks my heart. And, you know, it's so obvious, and it's really obvious, like, that this, I'm going to use J6 imprisonment in an example with like Tiananmen Square, Square. Now, remember the students were like standing up against CCP. We're not going to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. And they just went over them with tanks. And they're like, okay. We won't protest anymore. We see you'll run us over with tanks. Well, that's what they're doing. J6. Is a reminder to each and every one of you, including Lori Ann, Suzette, and myself, that we better not speak against this illegitimate administration, because we too can be imprisoned. Our words can imprison us. We are in dangerous times. And this is a turning tide.
And do not ever question the legitimacy of an election, no matter how much fraud is found. Do not ever question it, too. You know, that's the thing as well. You know, we will place who we want in these positions. And do not question it. And do not even bother bringing it to the courts. That's the message that's being sent as well.
How many times, I mean, like, seriously, aside from pro-life rally, how many times have you seen patriots show up to the Capitol to let them know that we're, you know, we're not happy with something? Nada. Nobody's going there. Hey, we know Joe's not there. There's no use pounding on those doors. But the point being is that people are like, well, geez, I don't want to go there and get locked up and not have any, lose all my constitutional rights, lose my, you know, my right to give grievance, and you know, the plight of these people are really evident, that the all of the evidence of their crimes have never been released until recently, and now they're quote unquote letting them use some of these video, some of the video to plead their case, to use it in evidence of, you know, that, hey, yeah, I was there, but yeah, that's me right there picking up trash and putting it in the garbage can after the cops kind of, the people pushed me in and I was just stuck. These people got kettled. And kettling's a tactic where police will sometimes move a group of protesters into a confined area, and then it's like a sort of like entrapment. And that's exactly what happened. And it's really interesting because the state of Oregon.
And how many
patriots are
trying to actually stop any kind of violence, actually trying to prevent violence, actually trying to stop people from attacking the cops. And then they were arrested and held, you know, forever and ever and ever, and eventually coerced into taking plea deals, all because not only were they there, but they were actually trying to stop other people from attacking the police that were there and stuff, and trying to de-escalate. And even those people were, you know, like you said, cattled in and treated as if they did something wrong. And it's such an infuriating situation that happened with the January 6th people. Legitimately there were people that did stuff wrong, and, you know, and they shouldn't have done that and everything. And yes, you know, prosecute them, but you don't lump in everybody that just happened to be there, into the same thing and coerce them into plea deals, because otherwise, you know, they'll be given life just for being there. And then also the bribing of courts, you know, to toss out evidence, you know, oh, this video shows that the person really wasn't doing anything wrong. Well, it doesn't take much to get a corrupt job to toss that evidence out and say, nope, we're not going to allow it.
Or
that's
they
really haven't infuriating
been
part.
Believe that they even submitted all the video, as far as to hold these people, you know, and hold them accountable for whatever they did. They could have just been wandering around there, and it's just the prosecutor's word against their word. And so if there isn't any evidence produced, even though they have it, to show that this person wasn't violent or anything else, you know, as far as destructive, then, you know, the court's going to say, well, you were there, weren't you? And they'll say yes, and that's all that they need. You know, so omitting evidence as well, without even coercing the judge.
It's just as bad as committing the crime. It's just as bad as committing the crime. Omitting the evidence just as criminal as the crime committed. And, you know, they are American citizens. They are due their constitutional rights. And it's just something that each and every one of us need to, you know, think about. But, you know, when you've got the shoe on the other foot, for example, in New York, has agreed to pay out $21,500 to each of the hundreds of demonstrators at the 2020 George Floyd protests in the Bronx who were arrested, detained, or subjected to force by police officers. And what happened was it was a curfew, and it was getting close to curfew, and these, you know, BLM and everybody's going bonkers and stuff, and the cops kettled them. It's called kettling. And they rounded them up in there, and they got into the protesters kind of got stuck in a spot, and they ended up getting caught testing. They were obviously doing bad things to get arrested because hardly anybody got arrested for any of that crap in 2020. And now they're being paid a settlement by the state of New York or city of New York. For
here you have
patriots
that were just questioning. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, yeah, we're sorry for enforcing the laws, and if you weren't breaking the crime or if you weren't breaking the law, you wouldn't have been charged with the crime. And but they claim that, you know, that the tactics used by the police were what got them caught. If they wouldn't have been kettled into that area, well, they wouldn't have been caught. All right, so I feel that, you know, J6 people, a lot of them, like you said, there was a force behind them, and some people went in there and did some stupid shit, and I'm embarrassed for them. But a lot of them just got pushed in by the crowd.
Yeah.
And they were kettled.
There was no damage.
They were
done
kettled.
To anything
they were caught.
Yeah.
And the government had all the information they needed. They had all the video footage of this. And they went over months period. In fact, there's still people getting knocks on their door. Hi, we're with the Joint Terrorist Task Force. And we saw you on a video. Or there was one woman in Alaska that got her house raided. And she wasn't even there. And it was somebody else in Alaska with a similar name or something like that. And this was way back when it happened. And obviously she didn't live far enough out in the boonies.
The people that actually
like
did arrest,
come where you're
they
at, doll, they're going to have to really be serious because it's not an easy thing to get to your place.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart, especially this time of year. But it doesn't mean they can't wait for the thaw.
Definitely. It's always welcome.
Yeah.
The J6 people that were arrested and that were tracked down, hunted down basically through Twitter and their social media sites and their family and neighbors, had the, 4 o'clock in the morning wake-up call with, you know, the SWAT team, the FBI and all that, aiming guns at their doors, you know, pounding down their doors. And these people had families, you know, so they were all put under an unnecessary duress and stress just to arrest that person because they showed up on a video or on their most wanted list of the J6 people that were there, you know, that they could identify from the cameras. Didn't mean that they were in there, in the building. They didn't mean that they were doing anything, any damage, but because they had them on camera, they, you know, that's a person who's most wanted now. So what they, the people that were arrested, they used interrogation tactics on them while they were in prison. Of course, some of them have settled their court cases and pled guilty because they just wanted to go home. And like you mentioned, others that sacrificed their lives, you know, they killed themselves and, you know, what are you going to do about that? But it should never have happened as far as the way they rounded them up and you know, pounded down their doors like they were some type of axe murderer or serial murderer that was wanted, you know. That was just ridiculous. And then the interrogation tactics that they used also on the people in Abu Ghraib, you know, just was not necessary as far as the loudspeakers, the bright lights and not letting them sleep, just so that they would admit guilt. And now is not the time to back down, and now is not the time to be careful, because they need to know that there are more Americans, there are more of us than there are of them, and they need to be watching their back as far as what's going on, because I don't think Americans, we haven't been pushed enough yet and they just keep, you know, conceding to the demands as far as, oh, I'll lose my channel if I start, you know, speaking the truth, and so I'll tiptoe around it. And you can't worry about that. You can't worry. There are other alternative outlets out there to get the word out, and you just have to be diligent, because freedom isn't free. And you have to, it's going to cost. And, you know, the original Americans, our founding fathers, you know, had sacrificed their lives, had, you know, were injured, and, you know, they went through it in order to separate from Great Britain and say, we want our own country and we want to do things our way. We're tired of being under the thumb and being taxed ridiculously and living like serfs. So we need that gumption back. We need it.
Yeah, and, you know, turning to your local legislators and your state leaders is your strongest weapon against this, all of this. And that was one of the genius things that our forefathers did, was the separation between state and government, because they knew what it was like to live under one mighty rule. They wanted to have their own pockets of autonomy. And you are protected also under your state constitution. I'm fortunate to live in a state that in Alaska that back in the 90s told the federal government, it banned the federal government from infringing on our Second Amendment rights here in Alaska. So we don't, Alaska does not recognize federal bans on certain types of stocks and barrels and, you know, this and that with guns and any of that. So, and I know there's many other states. We were just talking about it. I think Sunday we talked a little bit about it on Lori Ann's show. But, yeah, that is your biggest, you know, buffer between the government and yourself is your state constitution and your state leaders. So it's just as important to vote close to home as it is in these federal elections. In fact, it's more important. It's all important. But
yeah.
Some people get lazy
about voting.
Don't be afraid to run close to home.
If you think, oh, I'm
exactly.
not qualified, you know, if you can get enough people to sign your petition for to be put on the ballot, that's all that matters. It's going to take some work knocking door to door and getting people to support you, but the more people you get to support you, the more doors that are knocked on. And basically, it's numbers. It's not about qualifying. To be honest, to be a Supreme Court justice, all you have to do is be a certain age. That's it. You don't even have to be a lawyer or a previous judge or anything like that when you look at the requirements to be a Supreme Court justice. I was just shocked. I was like, really? So you can pick up anybody, Tom, Dick, or Harry, off the street and say, we want you to be a justice. And if he gets approved, then, yeah. So there's no qualifications, and it's better that you're not qualified, because we need people that know the Constitution, know what our country is about, and that's it. We don't need no agendas to go in there and start screwing things up again.
I agree. Hey, Suzette.
Yeah, I agree, definitely.
We're just about at the end of our live broadcast, and Lorianne, Suzette, I don't mean to interrupt you. Lorianne, could you please plug your show? Maybe 40 seconds.
Yeah, we only have about 45 seconds left. Now's the time to call in, because we probably go into overtime for a little bit.
Oh.
But anyways, yeah, so
no.
Sunday night, Lucid
no,
Libertarian with Lorianne. Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne right here on Block Talk Radio. And Dahl joins me as my co-host. We flip roles. And so, yeah, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Tune in. Last week, I did a show focused on the buildup to World War III, how events are certainly starting to look like that. I didn't get to as much stuff as I wanted to, and so I'm going to have a part two of Boom, 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 the Drums of War, sure seem to be leading up to World War III. So that's going to be the primary focus of the show, but then I also have other topics that I want to bring up as well. So definitely tune in Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne, right here on Blog Talk Radio, 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific.
Oh, I was done. But I would just like to recommend both shows to your listeners and to new listeners. Excellent shows on
Did we lose Suzette?
Suzette?
No.
I see her still in the caller queue. All right. She
I know,
was gonna
I see her in the caller queue, but she suddenly dropped.
Anyway, so, well, that's just about, are you back, Suzette? Okay.
Okay, sorry about that. I guess I muted myself. I just wanted to recommend your show.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay, yeah, you were
Sundays.
In mid-sentence and we thought you dropped.
yes, get educated and in the know with breaking news and just intelligent talk. So thank you very much for taking my call this evening.
Thank you for calling
in, Suzette.
I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Thank you for your prayers. They helped. Everybody's
good.
Prayers helped.
We're praying
there's
hard.
Miracles that happen.
Oh, good.
Go.
Good.
How,
I think your dog
how much into overtime
too.
Are you ready? Are you willing to go into? Because if we go into overtime, Suzette, you don't have to go anywhere. It's all up
yeah.
to the host. What? How long she wants to stick around for?
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up the show just because I have to work in the morning. So, yeah, unfortunately. But we've got Lori Ann's show in a couple days, and we'll be talking about Ukraine and all that good stuff and all that fun stuff. It's always in the background. But, yeah, Suzette, I want to thank you for calling. Hopefully you can call into the Sunday show. Cindy, thank you for being there in the chat. And Lori Ann, thank you so much. It was a wonderful show for everybody that tuned in and listened. And, you know, I appreciate it. Like I said, you know, we show up for you and to, you know, bring these difficult topics to light. And we're fortunate that we're not really censored here at Blog Talk and people kind of just let us do our thing. So there is freedom pockets in the world, and we're glad to bring them to you. Also, if, you know, you would like to share the broadcast at any time, at Lori Ann's show as well, you know, you can find both shows at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all of those, so you can listen to them at your convenience, you know, if you've got a long drive or something, or you want to, like I said, share it with a friend. So, ladies, I want to thank you for your input, and Lori Ann, you as always, thank you so much. I appreciate you downloading the clips and doing all the behind-the-scenes technical stuff.
Well,
yeah.
That's what a good co-host is for. But no, I don't mind. And, boy, this show really flew by. It doesn't seem like it's been 2 hours already. So, you know, yeah, it flew by. And so I will definitely look forward to Sunday to kind of you didn't even get into the update on your video in California tonight. And
I know
the news there
Sunday,
in California picked it up.
I know it was on the news in California. It's nuts. Oh my gosh. It got like this, a bunch of creators from TikTok and stuff put my stuff all over there.
Oh.
It was like almost 170 million views.
Wow.
And then I don't know, over 2 million on Twitter. So, yeah, so we'll go ahead and fill everybody in on that on Sunday night at your show. If you don't mind, I'll take just a couple minutes and bring everybody up to breath on that. Because we could get, yeah, I would like to stay in the overtime, everybody, but we are having a blizzard. And I've got to keep digging out. Otherwise, I'll get buried in here. And I have an early morning tomorrow. So, yeah, the snowdrifts get really bad here on the island, and I won't be able to get out of my door.
And stay safe and stay warm.
Yeah, if you don't wake up early enough to stay on top of it, yeah.
Well, yeah, no, last week during the show, I was smelling, it was like blowing 80 miles an hour, but it was snowing really hard at the same time, and the snow had all drifted up against the one side of the cabin where the exhaust for the Toyo was. And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. It's that Toyo stove stinks. And I went out there and the exhaust was completely iced over and a snowdrift was against it. And I didn't have the wood stove going because I was worried about all the wind and I didn't want to have a chimney fire or something. So, so tonight the snow is blowing up on it. So I got to keep up on it. And remember, Lorianne, I went to bed and I said I was wearing my otter hat to bed because I was like, I'm not turning that thing on. And the wood stove was off and it was like, I don't know, it was grease in the house when I woke, or in the cabin when I woke up. So, good times. I got to get my house finished.
Yeah.
That's why I'm getting up early.
Yeah, you
got to
get that house finished. Yep.
I'm putting up molding right
that
now.
That cabin,
molding,
I think, it served its purpose, and that house needs to get done so you can start living in it. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's only been a few months. So we started in the middle of summer, so I'm making good progress.
Well, hasn't it been like 10 months or something? You started it like last, like late spring, early summer or something, right?
June. And then we...
So, it's been 9 months.
Yep. Well, we've lost months to, like, supply disruptions. So, they sent the walls of the house. Yeah, they sent all the makings for, like, the shell of the house, but they didn't send the roof. And so that's the roofing and stuff. So that set us back and stuff. So I'm way ahead of schedule. And it's just myself and the carpenters. So what do you expect? Right now, so it's just kind of slow going. Yeah, so yeah.
Everything
anyway,
has
so at least
go, you know, a bit at a time. That's for sure. But I am excited for it to finally be done, hopefully, and you can start living in there and start enjoying
this
monumental effort that you've been putting into for this long.
Yeah, everything has to be brought out by boat and then trucked across the island out here. So, yeah, it's quite a task. So I feel accomplished. We're right on schedule. But anyways, so thank you, ladies, for calling in, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You can find the show right here every Friday night, 8 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Alaska time. Lorianne will be here, and we're always happy to hear from our listeners, and you can find me at Twitter at Doll Arnson at Twitter and Doll Arnson at Facebook, and you can find Lorianne at Twitter at Lucid Libertarian with Lorianne. Oh, wait, you're at Kill It Lori. Yeah.
Just look up Lucid Libertarian. I should be the only one.
Yeah.
If anybody's stealing my name, they're going to catch hell. just look up Libertarian on Facebook. You'll find me, Lucid Libertarian on Twitter. You'll find me. I'm starting to get more active on Twitter. Thanks to you, Doll, with your help on Twitter, get some activity going.
Yeah, you know, Facebook, I do post there and whatnot and interact with the listeners at the Alaska Patriot Network page, but it's slow going, and I'm at the bottom of every feed with them. So it sucks.
I'm like a never-ending 90-day restriction.
Yeah, exactly. There's a little more freedom now there and the platform. So I did take a break from it because I just got sick of being, you know, in Twitmo, we call it. I just finally said, well, I can't spend my time here. But now since Elon Musk is getting things back, it's not perfect, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was. And I like the fact that not everybody thinks the same and wants to have, you know, some discourse. I'm cool with trolling.
Twitter is full of trolls, same with Facebook, but I think even more so on Twitter for some reason. But, you know, hey, it is what it is. I just ignore them.
Yeah, I love it. I don't mind sparring with them every now and then. It depends on how much you want to poke the bear. But anyway, so
yeah,
all right.
Sometimes
so we're
I'm wondering
up.
If I'm just wasting my time with the AI, because
there's
a lot of AI completely fake accounts. And so sometimes it's like, okay, I'm not wasting my time when they show signs that they're trolled. And it's like, okay, well, are you an AI? Am I just like talking to a freaking algorithmic computer? Well, if that's the case, then I'm not going to waste my time.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, if they're coming up with, you know, I always say nobody that ignorant can type that fast, so you've got to be a robot.
Exactly. And they're always like canned answers, you know. It's just like almost verbatim on the rhetoric kind of thing. And they become pretty evident pretty quickly.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up for real. We keep saying we're going to say goodbye. It's like the Midwestern goodbye. 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 Yeah. All right. Well, no.
Goodbye.
No.
Goodbye.
But anyway, so ladies, thank you so much. No, really. Thank you so much. And to everybody out there, don't give up your liberties. One of the most effective ways to push back against this is just say no and do not comply. Do not buy into this ideology and, you know, stick to your principles, regardless of party affiliation, because this is something we cannot vote our way out of. We need to look to each other because that is all we have left. Nobody's coming to save us. So with that, you know, we're going to go ahead and sign off. And this is Dahl Arnson with the Alaska Patriot Network. God bless you and God bless America. And we're signing out.